as a family. Out of that place in us, Father, that you have lit by your glory. The greatest miracle ever, Father, that we could ever encounter was the day that we said, Jesus, you are the Christ. Listen to that. Listen. When we said, Jesus, you are the Christ of God, instantaneously behind the scenes, the Holy Spirit breathes the life of God in us. And we go from spiritual death unto spiritual life.
Hallelujah.
From sons of this world, instantaneously, sons of God. You have to grasp that. You have to grasp that. The greatest miracle on the face of this earth is that the life of God is inside of our spirit. Grasp it. Grasp it. Grasp it. Little babies, grasp it. Grasp it. Grasp it. Innocence. Innocence. Complete innocence. Took on a guilty sentence, a guilty verdict in innocence. Yes, Homer deserved death. Ralph deserved death. Gay, Vene, Rosie, they deserve death, Father. They are sinners. No, Father, no, no. I'll pay their ransom. I'll be condemned for Homer, Lord. Father, I'll be condemned. Lay their penalty on me. Lay their charge to me. Lay their charge to me. I'll drink this cup of sin, Father. Lay that charge to me. Charge to me, Father. I'll be condemned and they will be justified. If they believe that I am He. If they believe that I am He, Father, that I am that creditor that paid the debt and loosed them of it. If they believe that I am He, they shall have eternal life inside of their spirit. You have to grasp that. Glory. Glory to the King. Now I can see why the woman from the city that was a sinner, starting to see Luke 7 more and more. She gave him the best that she had that day. The alabaster box. Can you picture her disposition or her face? This is He. The Bible says that she was a sinner from the city. She was probably promiscuous. Yet, she hears about Jesus. She anoints His feet. She washes His feet with her tears. this woman says, this is he. This is God in the flesh. This is the Redeemer. Now, I don't know if she went on to work exploits for the kingdom. The Bible doesn't say, so I won't say either. But I do know that she gave him the best that she had at that moment, which was an everlasting praise and an everlasting worship. We have fallen asleep. We are in slumber in the corporate body of Christ. We have counted praise and worship on Sunday mornings as music instead of praise and worship with the family. We have regarded church as four walls with a roof instead of a gathering of the brethren to hear the word of the Almighty God. Catch this now. We have regarded the first 30 or 45 minutes of a church service as music instead of a corporate worship with the brethren worshiping the Almighty God. No regard. No regard. We have counted church as four walls with a roof, not knowing that this is a gathering of family members. Hearing the word of the Almighty God. Lord, that you would take me out of any sleep or slumber that I might be in, Father. Open up my eyes, Father. Open up my eyes spiritually, Lord, to see those areas in my life where I lack, Father. What we do in the beginning is far more than music. We gather together as a family to worship the Almighty God. We have fallen asleep. We are in slumber, forsaking our first love. And that is to have an intimate, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Above all, listen again. As I speak in a redundant manner, listen. We have regarded praise and worship as sheer music instead of a gathering of the brethren to worship the Almighty God. We have had no regard for the gathering of the brethren during the week. We have counted church as a building with four walls and a roof instead of brethren uniting together, hearing the word of the Almighty God. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. Spadia soko de reberi candiando. Yaroborose kende reberi candiando podo kende. Isomboro kedia bereke dolo broso konde erekendada. Yado sobodo kore kendianda dende. Ira brokondo. That's why many are called, but few are chosen. There's a love and a desire that a disciple has to lay down his life and encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll worship. selfish ambition, zeal means nothing to the Father. But a man or a woman that would go before him with a contrite and broken heart to say, Father, all I want is to know you. Ultimate love is not telling somebody about Jesus. Ultimate love, though it's part of it, but ultimate love is loving the one that you tell about Jesus. You can tell somebody about Jesus with pride and hypocrisy and unforgiveness inside of you. You can tell somebody about Jesus in rebellion. Ultimate love is laying down your life for your brother by heeding the word of God. We have fallen asleep and we are in slumber. Oh, that we would come out as a body, that we would come out of that as a body. Ultimate love is doing those things that are pleasing to the Father. You can tell somebody about Jesus and still be full of hate. Grasp that. Are you against evangelizing? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that ultimate love is laying down your life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is ultimate love. Again, we have regarded praise and worship as music. Not regarding the gathering of the brethren corporately, lifting up our hands, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, that we would grasp that. After years, we consider church a place of four walls and a roof, instead of knowing that we gather corporately together as believers to hear the word of the Almighty God. That we would repent of our selfish ambition. We would go before the Lamb and say, cleanse us, Father, for forsaking our first love, which is to know you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Father, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Let it sink in, somebody. That's why Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. What kind of laborers? Laborers that labored just like him. Not just any laborer. It's easy to tell somebody about Jesus. That's the easiest thing of this walk to do. It's easy to tell somebody that Jesus is the Christ. It is so easy. And I'm not taking away from that. But what if we lived according to the gospel at all times? We would win this world over. Evangelize the gospel if you need to use words. This is a lifestyle. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I repeat, I am not coming against evangelizing the word of God and telling somebody about Jesus. But that's real easy. That is real easy. You can be filled of strife, hate, and rebellion and tell somebody about Jesus with no substance. Substance is what wins over the sinner, not words. Not words. Substance, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, breaks every yoke of bondage. Not articulation. Not words. Not the remembrance of Scripture. It is the love of God resident within me and you, made manifest to the world, that brings the world to Jesus Christ. Not words. Amen. I had to shake my head throughout the whole day yesterday, fighting words that I knew I didn't want to say. I shook my head for hours. No, I can't say that. Well, he won. And I do believe they came out in the love of God. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can get that little medley for me, Marty, please. Glory. I don't know if anybody. No, I don't know. I didn't ask my wife who's here, who's not here. That way nobody can say you were talking to me. So it's a good thing. So I don't have a clue who's here. I do not have a clue who's not here. I just know that I have a word to deliver from the Father. And I felt a very strong anointing earlier. Something spring forth out of me that I fought with yesterday all day. All day, really. I said, I can't say these things, Father. But whether you agree with me or not, they were true. Because we are asleep in the slumber. The corporate body of Christ is in, we're asleep. Even when it comes to true evangelism, we have counted the knowledge of Scripture as true evangelism. Not regarding that we're to walk in the love of God behind closed doors. You can have both now. But ultimate love is not telling somebody about Jesus. It's part of ultimate love. We know that. Jesus didn't testify much to the thief that was on the cross. But he did say, today I remember you when I enter my kingdom or enter paradise. The words, Father, forgive them, got that thief to say, this is the King of Israel. Not doctrine. Not rhetoric, not persuasive speech. Christ dying on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then the thief said, my God, who is this man that's being crucified? He didn't even walk in a fence. Who is this man asking God the Father to forgive those that are killing him? Who is this man? This must be the Christ. No articulation. Didn't even pound him to know him as Redeemer. But the anointing, even with nails pierced through his being, the anointing that he walked in, the love that he walked in on the cross, won one more into the kingdom. One more. Not through articulation, but through the anointing and love that he had in his life. We can learn from that. We have to learn. Not dogmatic evangelism. It does nothing for the kingdom. Are you with me on this? Do you know where I'm at with this? I am not coming against evangelism. I am not. But we are content the corporate body is content. And right now, I'm not walking in this great power to raise the dead. And I never will. That's his power. All I'm to do is to love. It's his power. It's his authority. He can't add to his power and his authority in my life, but I can add the love that I walk in. That's where the miracles lie. We spiritually endeavor to find miracles. Only one problem with that. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They never spiritually endeavored to perform a miracle. Pastor Bronk is bringing us to the brink, knowing what we should walk in. He's done a spectacular job showing us through the Word of God what believers are to walk in. And it's exciting me. But you note in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time there's a chapter on miracles, there's a chapter before or a chapter after on the love of God. We want to know where miracles are at. Where are they at? Let me tell you something right now. In that cubicle, whether you know this or not, or whether you believe it or not, my greatest desire, the highlight of my day, is not whether I'm going to see today or not. What keeps me going in that cubicle is that every single day, my love for you is growing more and more. Every single day. My eyesight is second to me now. I've got to encounter the King. You've got to grasp that. This is not paramount to me. Loving Him is. My eyes are sailing farther and farther from the shore. My desire to love you is growing more and more every single day. When my eyes do open up according to the scripture, I'm still going to do what I'm doing now, because when I get my eyesight back, that wasn't first on my list. Loving you is first on my list. That prayer closet is not about Homer. It's not about 20/20 eye vision. That prayer closet is about me loving the Father, and in loving Him, I love Kirsten. And in loving Kirsten, I love Terry. Loving Reuben, loving Delia, loving Alex, loving Marty, loving Gay. That's what that cubicle is about. I am not self-centered and selfish, worried about my eyes every single day. But I hunger and I thirst to love Harry, to love Robert, to love the Muslim, to love the homosexual. That is the love of God. I am not self-centered. I don't sit there and say, woe is me. When you can open up my eyes, Father, you know what? My spiritual eyes are opening up to love you the way the Father does. I mean that with all of my heart. Going to invite you this Wednesday. I'm about done with a certain, like Gary says, there's a piece of bread in the oven and it's almost done on Luke 10 on the Good Samaritan. You know what? We're going to change it from Good Samaritan to the Godly Samaritan. There's something that I've been meditating for years, and I do believe the Lord's going to have me to teach it Wednesday. Maybe, but it is incredible. On the Good Samaritan. It has helped me every day in my walk to encounter the King. I enter into that cubicle in the morning to love my King. And as I love my King, something happens simultaneously. I love you. You don't love twice. You don't love God and then love your brother. You don't love twice. You love once, and that qualifies you to love twice. You love God the Father, and in loving Him once, that qualifies you to love your brother. You can't say, I'm going to love God and then love my brother. No, 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 no. If you're not in reverence to the Father, you're not loving your brother. If you hate the Muslim, your love for the Father is minimal. If you hate the homosexual, your love for the Father is minimal. If you judge somebody according to their skin color, your love for the Father is minimal. I'm going to turn the pages back in time, and I'm going to judge myself. I don't know who's here, who is not here. I did not ask my wife, but I'm going to go back in time, and I'm going to judge myself openly in your midst. Because every day I'm learning how to love more and more. Tears and tears and tears are being shed. A purging is springing forth in me every day. And sometimes it doesn't feel good, but then I get in a certain situation. I say, my God, thank you, Jesus. This is not about Homer, about when is Homer going to have his eyes opened up. No, it's not about me. It's about my spiritual eye being open to finish what He's called me to do. It is time, my friends. God, it is time. It is time. Patience, says the Lord to me. Patience. Patience. You can't even say anymore that it's wrong. And this message today is for the believer. It's for those in the church. If there's any unbelievers here today, I'm glad you're here. You'll have a good time, but this isn't directed to you. This is directed to the body of Christ, those that have called on the name of the Lord. Sixty times the Apostle John in 1 John, you can turn there. 60 times the Apostle John references the word we in 1 John. 60 times, maybe more, he uses the word we. We is not singular, it is plural. 60 times in 5 chapters, over 60 times, I do believe he references or uses the word we. Talking to those that are beloved or of the faith. 60 times. We got to understand. I believe every saint in here, with all their heart, wants to love. If you keep coming back to this church, your desire is to love. But I just feel that we don't know truly what the love of God is, a true biblical definition of the love of God. I think we failed and we are in error as far as knowing what the love of God is. It is not an emotion. But this message today is for Christians. It is for me. I am there on the front row on my chair that I sit in. Eric, I am right there with you preaching to myself. I remember as I turn back the pages in time, and I'm judging myself regarding my love walk and where it needs to go. I remember when Pastor Bronk used to dismiss and say, okay, will you please stand and go around and shake people's hand and say hi to your brethren. I remembered that the first thought that would come to me years ago was, no, I'm sitting down. No man can tell me what to do. I'm going to sit down here. If I want to get up and shake Terry's hand, I'm going to do it. But Pastor Bronk, you don't tell me what to do. Let me judge myself. Back then, my love for the Father was minimal. Because if I can't embrace you in here as the brethren, those born of the same spiritual DNA that I have, I'm going to have a hard time loving the unbeliever that wants me dead in the world. Make no mistake. Pastor Bronk, you don't tell me what to do. If I get up, I'll get up. I'll sit here. I'm my own man. I love God. You don't tell me to get up. I was ignorant. I was ignorant. You want to judge your love walk with the Father? Judge how you intermingle with the brethren. It is so quiet in here. 60 times the Apostle John uses the word we. 1 John chapter 3, now it's my job as a teacher to establish to you and to show you who we, when he says the word we, who he's referencing, who he's talking to. 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. So as we talking, when he references the word we, is he talking to believers? Behold what manner of God, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So we have established that the word we is referencing to who? Sons of God. Is that pretty cut and dry? 60 times he references the word we in 1 John, making reference to sons of God. 60 times. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Is that established or not? It's there. It's in your head, right? We're after the love of God, the true biblical definition of the love of God. What is it? 1 John chapter 2. By this we know. What is the word we in 1 John, they make a reference to who? Sons of what? Sons of God. 1 John chapter 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Wait a minute. But you established with me that the word we was making reference to sons of God. This is how we know, we the beloved born of God. This is how we know that we the beloved love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5. So we believe that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth that begat, loveth him that is begotten also. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. He said, by this, we know. We that are born again by this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. By this, we know the beloved. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. By this, we know the family prayer center. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we that are born again, this is a continuance, when we love God and keep his commandments. Let me ask you this question. If I'm preaching the gospel to you and I hug you and I embrace you, and you think I'm the sweetest person in the world, I invite you to my house. I give to the poor. I lift up my hands real high in worship. Yet, I'm having an adulterous affair. I treat you like $1 million in church. I'm hugging you. I'm giving my offering. I'm consistent, or so it seems, in the things of God. I never offend nobody. Yet I'm having an adulterous affair. When you're around me, I make you laugh. I can articulate and quote Bible verses to you. I hug the sinner when he walks in. But I'm walking in an adulterous affair. Am I walking in love? Am I walking in love? No. By this we, the beloved, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. See, you don't have to love twice to love once. You love once to love twice. You love the Father. And in loving the Father, you love the brethren. But we do not love the Father. Make no mistake. The continuance is this, that we love the Father when we keep his word. And when I keep his word, I love the brethren. I can't love the Father by saying, I love you, Father. I glorify you, Father. We're going to get to that in a little bit. That's good, and that's worship. And we're to worship God. He said, by this we know, the beloved, by this we know, by this we know, by this we know, by this we know that we love the children of God. Okay, here it is. How do I know as a believer that I love the children of God? How do I know when I'm loving Kirsten? Or when I'm loving Rosie or Delia or Marty or Gay? How do I know when I'm loving them? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. So if I say I'm loving God and I'm inconsistent in my walk, that means I'm not keeping his commandments. That means I'm not walking in the light. And if I'm not walking in the light, I'm not keeping his commandments. And I'm not loving God. And if I'm not loving God, I am not loving you. But I have an opportunity every day to love God. When? In every conversation that I have. My prayer is that when I speak to you, that I'm patient and answer you back according to the wisdom of God. My prayer is that when I deal with people every day, that I know that I can see someone that God loves. I don't want my answer to be my answer. I want to bring him glory by my lifestyle. 60 times the Apostle John references the word we. By this we know, Family Prayer Center, that we love the children of God. We love God and keep his commandments. So if I keep his commandment, I love God. And if I love God, I'm loving you. Loving God, keeping his commandments, and loving you is one thought. Not three. One. If you obey the law of liberty, if you obey the word of God, you're keeping his commandments, and you are loving the brethren. That is a true biblical definition of the love of God. Nowhere in the scripture, nowhere. And I asked four of my elders this week, which is Gary Carpenter, Pastor Bronk. I talked to Nathan and Barry Johnson, and I texted him and I said, is ultimate love telling someone about Jesus? It is ultimate love to an extent. But ultimate love is really loving the one that you're telling about Jesus by living a holy life. You can't prove to me that you telling you can't prove to me You can't show me out of the scripture where ultimate love is telling somebody about Jesus. Because you can tell somebody about Jesus with hypocrisy, hatred, adultery, fornication, strife, and drunkenness in your life. That's easy. It's easy to do that. But it's the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So, Father, you mean I say that I love Kirsten and Terry, Lord, but I'm walking in this habitual sin? Father, by this we know that we love the children of God. He's teaching us something. By this we know, Lord, how do I know that I love my brothers in the church? By this we know that we love the children of God. How, Jesus? How, John? When you love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have missed what the love of God is. We have trophied Bible memorization. We have trophied it. We have put a 5-star behind the way we can articulate. We have put 5 stars behind what we post on Facebook. 5 stars. Listen, a lot of people that post on Facebook, their hands are dirtier than the ones they're trying to win over. That's why I just say to people, shh, be quiet. Just be quiet. 2 or 3 weeks worth of abstinence is not worth you posting on Facebook. Abstinence is a lifestyle. 2 or 3 weeks of being sober does not give you the green light to start posting on Facebook. The mighty men of God in my life, Pastor Gary Flint, Barry Johnson, Tim Stemple, Jim Martin, Gary Carpenter, Dave Roberson, Nathan, they post very little on Facebook regarding Christ. Now, I have friends that post a lot on Facebook about personal stuff. That's not what I'm making reference to. But I'm saying, if you know your hands are dirty, shh, be quiet. Just be quiet. My friend Alex said it best several months ago. He said one of the worst things that you can find in life is a believer that just starts praying, because all of a sudden he's God's hitman, because he feels the peace of God. Because he's been praying for 2 or 3 weeks. Now he thinks he has to attack everybody and post on Facebook how good he or she is doing. We need to know what the love of God is. Our hands have to be clean. God, they have to be clean. When I think of the corporate body of Christ and the mistakes that we've made, there seems to be little separation from the body of Christ and from an unbeliever.